Hello and good evening, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the part two to the weekend newsletter for Monday, February 16th. Steve Nelson sent out part one, which dealt with the general market analysis a couple hours ago. And of course, this week, the weekend newsletter comes out on Monday instead of Sunday because of the market holiday, Washington's birthday. So hopefully all of you enjoyed a little extra long holiday weekend. I know we did. Steve and I have lives. We spent a lot of time on the website, but you know, we have lives too, and it's nice to get a little break. And anyway, before I get into the update, just a couple administration notes. I know that this market, you know, Steve Nelson covered it in his previous update. You know, this market is extremely tough to trade, and things feel artificial, manipulated, and you know, we are in a vicious bear market. Over time, we are going much lower. Honestly, things are getting pretty scary from what I see, and you know, there is a very real possibility that ultimately we could end up in some kind of, you know, deflationary and then ultimately an inflationary depression. So these are very tough times. These are times when you need to make the right decisions. Unfortunately, I don't think the government is making the right decisions. And but, you know, we can't control that individually. All we can do is vote. Of course, there's no new elections for a couple of years. And anyway, but for yourselves, I think, you know, if things do get bad eventually, you know, in order to protect yourself, you need to keep your debt as low as possible, pay off your credit cards, have savings, you know, don't go and buy, don't max out your credit cards, pay off your debts, etc. And hopefully we can make some money here in the markets. Even though they are tough, there are opportunities here, and you know, that'll get us through. Now hopefully the doom and gloom scenarios do not play out, but if they do, we have to be prepared. Longer term, I think gold is going much higher, though short term is a little muddled. So I think ultimately, you know, you'd want some investments in gold and precious metals, and even the physical golds instead of just the ETFs. But I'll talk about that in a little later in this update. Anyway, let's go and get started here. First little table here gives you a breakdown of what commodities did last week. Commodities were down 5%, so pretty big pullback in commodities, and the CRX commodity stocks were down about. And crude oil bounced a little bit last week, and oil stocks were down. The gold was up once again, and it is it broke out of a resistance last week. And I have some thoughts of gold a little bit later on. So let's go ahead and get started here. The first chart is the daily chart of the CRB. This is the commodities index. It's about a composite of 17 different various commodities. And, you know, really the same analysis still applies. It could be trying to bottom here, or it's this descending triangle could morph out and we're going to have another new sell-off to new lows, you know, which would probably also result in a sell-off to new lows in the general market via a wave five, as Steve discussed in the update a couple hours ago, and of course, as we have been discussing for quite a long time. The 20 and 50-day moving averages have come together here, and so we're getting ready for a big move. Bollinger Bands are tightened, and you know, CRB is either going to, you know, if it can break, get over these moving averages, the 20 and 50-day, and break above that downtrend line, you know, then CRB commodities should rally, and maybe that'll give some hope for the general market, or we sell down again and make new lows. So, you know, that's pretty much the same analysis. The DBC is the next chart. It's the ETF to the commodities. It looks identical to the CRB. You can see the wave count. You can see the commodities hit a wave 5 top in July, and then we've had this huge sell-off since then. Here's the potential wave count. And, again, do we have to sell off to new lows to make a wave, put in a wave 5 before we have a bigger bounce? Hard to say. But on a daily chart of the DBC, you know, another thing I think that's useful is to put a trend line on the RSI, and you can see that's holding, but that needs to hold. And so, again, waiting game. It's likely it'll be answered this week. And as Steve stated, there's a, I think it's on the 18th, but it's plus or minus a couple days. There's a Fibonacci turn date on the 18th, and so that'll probably also correspond with commodities. Here's a weekly chart of the CRB commodities indexes for a longer-term view. You can see, again, there's some support down here at the November lows that goes back to the 2002 range. But again, if that's broken, maybe, you know, then CRB will go down lower. The weekly chart just looks awful. You know, eventually we are going to get a larger bounce, but, you know, in the long term, it's got a lot of work to do. And next, moving on to the commodity stocks. They look, a lot of the commodity stocks are in triangles, but the CRX, the weekly chart here, is something I do not like, and really the same pattern as last week. You can see that it's in a potential rising, bear rising wedge in the weekly chart. This mirrors a lot of the other major index charts, and so if this breaks down, then, you know, commodity stocks would sell off to maybe make another low, maybe put in a more substantial bottom. So the weekly chart, I really don't like it, but of course there is room to move up in the wedge if it wants to. Now, the next three charts, OIH, XLE, and DIG, are ETFs to the commodity energy ETFs, or the commodity stocks such as crude oil stocks, oil and energy stocks, etc. Especially the OIH is the oil stocks, and it remains in this symmetrical triangle pattern that doesn't look too bad. It's either going to break to the upside or the downside, but again, you know, it's getting near the apex of this triangle, and so I imagine it's going to break one way or the other here. So if it breaks to the upside, you can take a long. If it breaks to the downside, well, you can take an aggressive short. Okay, but the OIH actually does not look that bad, and it's holding its moving averages here, and it's, of course, holding its uptrend line. XLE, once again, a triangle, similar to last week. It bounced off of its uptrend line last week. Again, if you look at my last two weekend newsletters going back a couple weeks, we've been in these triangle patterns, and we're still in these triangle patterns. And folks, that is what has made trading in this market so tough. When you're in triangle consolidation patterns, trading is very difficult. You know, it'll whip you around. You know, you think you're getting a move up, and then it'll reverse. And it'll just whipsaw you and churn your account. When you're in triangle patterns, you either play support and resistance, which means you buy support at the uptrend line and sell resistance at the downtrend line, so you become a trader, or you just sit it out and wait for a breakout and then play the trend. Markets only do one or two things. They either consolidate or they trend. In trending markets, that is when swing trading, when you can make money easily. But swing trading does not work in consolidating markets like this. You'll get whipsawed up. So if you're a swing trader, I mean, really over the last few weeks or, you know, hell, a couple months, you know, it's best to sit out of the market. And those of you who have read the book Reminiscence of a Stock Operator by Jesse Livermore, the famous trader in the early 1900s, you know, he was famous for saying that he made the most of his money by not being in the market. You know, you do not need to be in the market all the time. I've had emails from folks who said, hey, you know, I haven't been able to make any money the last couple weeks, so, you know, I don't think breakpoint trades is useful to me. Well, folks, I don't like that argument because, you know, honestly, sometimes it's best to sit out of the market. You do not need to be in the market every day, all the time, making money. You make the most money by waiting for the lowest risk setups and then pouncing on them and then putting a stop in place, taking low risk, high reward trades. That's how you make money in this market. Even if you make 5 trades a year, but you manage to make those trades in, you know, important inflection points in major sectors in the market, you know, such as maybe a major bottom in gold stocks or a major top in gold stocks, whatever, then you're going to far, you know, outpace 99% of the traders out there. So, you know, folks, nothing wrong with sitting out and waiting, okay? Now, if you're a day trader, well, then, you know, trade every day and, you know, trade support and resistance, whatever. But a lot of people cannot do that because they work jobs. And breakpoint trades is not about day traders. We have day traders here. We also have swing traders, and we have longer-term traders. So, again, we're maintaining these consolidation patterns. So, I'm getting a little off tangent here, but again, back to the XLE triangle pattern. Consolidation. We bounced off support. You know, it should resolve itself soon. Next chart, daily chart of DIG. This is the ultra long oil and energy ETF. By the way, there's now a triple energy ETF, but I don't have it here listed here. And again, it's holding this triangle support. You know, it doesn't look as good as the XLE or OIH, but it's still holding for now. But it's below its moving averages, and I don't like the volume. Recent volume pickup. If we break to the downside, then you know it's going to sell down. Okay, next, let's look at crude oil. Crude oil is a little tough to read. It's been consolidating since its December low. Here's a daily chart of crude oil. Now, in stock charts, the WTIC crude oil is not the current month. It's actually, I think, the average of the next 9 months. And so, you know, the current spot crude oil price is different than what the crude oil chart on stock chart. For example, you know, stock charts has crude oil here at $42. Whereas on the current spot price for crude oil for the current month is $37, and so quite a bit different, okay? And anyway, but crude oil, regardless, remains kind of in this maybe bearish descending triangle, or you know, it could be trying to bottom here, or it could bust down one more time. And, you know, unless crude oil can, I think crude oil needs to bottom in order to help, you know, give the market some hope of putting in a bottom here. Otherwise, I think crude oil could sell down to one more new low, and the market will as well. So again, remains in this consolidation pattern. Weekly chart of crude oil. Here's the next chart. And just an unbelievable pullback from that July high and consolidation here over the last couple months. On a weekly basis, it looks like the 11 weekly exponential moving average is resistance. So it would need to get over that for any type of longer term or intermediate term rally that, you know, that lasts more than a couple days. Full stochastics cannot get above 20%, and that needs to change as well. And here's a weekly chart of crude oil. And again, you can see the huge pull, or monthly chart, you can see the huge pullback that has occurred. And there's some support area around here. And so I think it's trying to consolidate. Again, crude oil may or may not make a little new lows here, but I don't think it's going to make substantial new lows at this time. There is a Fibonacci timing window, I think, early this week for crude oil. I don't know exactly when it is, but generally, crude oil follows the Fibonacci timing series pretty well. So when I know that, I'll post it out on one of the updates or the blog, etc. Though you notice how I have the MACD circled. The MACD lines are really expanded here. And what that tells us is that crude oil will probably bounce here eventually. But when it does, it'll not be going to new highs right away. It's just going to be a bounce, and then it's going to be another pullback. Because, you know, that's an unhealthy MACD, and, you know, it's just, it needs a lot of work. By the way, it's on this chart, it's a PPO instead of the MACD. But PPO works very similar to a MACD, except on weekly charts I use PPO sometimes, because PPO accounts for the large price shift. If you use a MACD on a weekly chart that had a lot of movement, a lot of times you won't be able to see the movements in the MACD. It'll be squished together, and PPO is an indicator that fixes that. And next is a chart of just some of the base metals. Copper has had a bounce, but you know what? On a weekly chart, kind of looks like a bear flag, doesn't it? Same way with platinum, it's had a nice bounce. But ultimately, you know, that bounce looks a little vertical to me, bear flaggish maybe. Ultimately, it comes down again. There's a daily chart of platinum. And it's a chart I made about a month ago. It's basically hit its price target. May or may not have some more upside, but eventually it'd probably pull back too. Now, let's get away from that stuff, folks. Let's move on to the fun stuff. Let's move on to gold and precious metals. Now, a couple folks on the blog asked me to put the Elliott wave count on gold, and that's what I've done. And it took me a while to figure this out, but I think these are the two possible scenarios for gold. There's a bullish, the first one, both of these wave counts are very bullish longer term, by the way, okay? There's no bearish wave count in gold. The first chart's a little less bullish. It has another big pullback coming in gold. And the first one, and the second one has a little minor pullback coming, but then ultimately, you know, we go to way new highs. Either chart, though, again, is super bullish. And, you know, the long-term wave count has gold going way into the thousands, you know, probably over 2,000 an ounce. And so gold is definitely something that you want to own eventually. Hope, you know, buying on a pullback would be better. I own physical gold myself. I've been buying it over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. I bought a lot of it in the 400s, some of it in the 300s, some of it in the 600s. I only buy in major pullbacks, though. And I do own some physical gold, and in the form of coins and bars. The reason why I own it, well, obviously, you know, gold is not, you know, easy to sell, or it's not as easy to sell as a stock or an ETF that you can just click a button. But, you know, so why do I own it? Well, I like owning it because I like it. I like looking at it. I like having the physical gold. And another thing, you know, I know gold is going much higher, so why not? Number three. Well, if things got bad enough, who knows? You know, I know there's gold ETFs out there, GLD, and there's a DGP, the Ultra Gold ETF, but you never know if problems could occur when those ETFs, and, you know, or what'll happen. So I like owning some of the physical metal. Plus, it's not really hard to sell it. I've had no problem selling gold on eBay or selling back to Kitco. So anyway, let me get into these gold. Oh, but one thing about gold is that, you know, again, I'm not going to try to get on a soapbox too much here, but, you know, regarding what the government is doing, and many of the governments around the world, you know, the huge, massive amounts of debt, the amount of money they have to print, you know, I just think it's a recipe for gold going much higher in the long term. Now, in the short term, I think in this, you know, what could unfold is we're seeing deflationary forces right now, where, you know, the lack of credit, the credit crunch, and, of course, the huge, enormous amounts of debt are causing a deflationary cycle. And I think that'll last for a while. But ultimately, you know, we could end up in a more hyperinflationary scenario. Hopefully it doesn't occur, but it could. And honestly, I don't see, you know, how we're not going to end up in some scenario eventually. And so gold makes sense fundamentally on a longer term. Plus, the Elliott wave charts are bullish. So let me go on the first chart. The first chart here again is, you know, you could see the long-term Elliott wave count going back to 99. And what this chart has is a five-wave uptrend ended in 2008, March 2008, and we've had a big pullback. Now, this pullback in gold, this less bullish chart has the pullback here being a large wave two. You could see the wave two is in red, okay? And so this would still have wave two not being in. In Elliott wave analysis, wave two pullback, wave twos are always ABC. And so we've had major wave A pullback, and this is major wave B bounce. It's going to form a lower high, and then they're just going to sell down one more time to form the C wave pullback, which would complete the wave two. Maybe that wave two ends up in the 600s, maybe near the 50% scenario. But then that would put in this wave two correction, and then we go up in a massive, you know, bullish rally in wave three, which, you know, just measures unbelievably high. You know, it's hard to even fathom how high that could go. You know, well over 2,000 an ounce. And so, you know, but again, in order for this scenario to play out, gold cannot make new highs here. It cannot go above May highs. And so this could still be one large B rally with a C wave pullback coming back. If this plays out, folks, that'll be a major freaking buying opportunity, okay? And the moving averages I have on this chart, by the way, I have three moving averages. I have three Fibonacci moving averages, the 89-week moving average, which, as you can see, it's in blue. It held as major support for, you know, 2002, and 144 moving average. We bounced off that in the fall. That's another Fibonacci number. And the 233 moving average, that's another Fibonacci number. So that could be another target, maybe on a larger way, on a C wave pullback here. Again, don't know if this will occur, but if it does, that'll be a great buying opportunity. The bullishness in gold is quite extreme right now, and it's actually higher than it was in the last, you know, earlier this, in 2008. And so gold has the potential to top out based on just, you know, everyone being a little too bullish on it right now. So I kind of hope this scenario plays out, because that would get a, give you a great buying opportunity in gold. So, again, we'll just have to see. But longer term, it's going much higher. Now, the next chart would be the more bullish case. You know, again, the wave count going all the way back to 1999 is the same. You can see everything's labeled the same. But what this count has is that the wave 2 pullback low was put in during that fall pullback. And so, remember, the first chart has wave 2 not yet being put in, but this has wave 2 lows already in. And so this has us already in major wave 3 up, which is extremely bullish. However, the good thing is that, you know, wave 3s consist of 5 waves themselves. And so, you know, assuming this is wave 1 up, eventually we're going to get a nice, healthy wave 2 pullback. It'll form a higher low. It'll most likely pull back to one of a Fibonacci retracement of the length of wave 1. And so it'll form a higher low, and then that would be another, you know, major buying opportunity. So either scenario, folks, you can see that gold will pull back sometime. It's not just going to go straight up and up and up. You know, so which one plays out, I don't know. Longer term, obviously, they both end up about the same place, you know, in the thousands of dollars. But again, you know, either way, it looks like we're going to pull back either way. So it just, which scenario here? Hard to say. The next chart's a daily chart of gold, and it remains in this uptrend channel. Last week, gold took out the significant resistance, that downtrend line from the March highs, so that could now act as support. It could be in a little rising wedge here, inside here, so if that plays out, then gold could start to pull back, and that's something to watch. I have it in dotted lines here, as you can see, and of course, stochastic's overbought, and there is some negative divergence up here. The next major resistance, if it does rally higher, would be 990. So, again, let's see what happens. Next chart, it's just the commercial net short of gold, and last week it increased again to now 189,000 net short, and that's as of Tuesday, so it's probably really higher than that. It could be 195 or 200,000. Gold tends to top out around the 200,000 range, and but you know, there's no, it's hard. Gold can top out at different ranges. The areas that I love to buy gold is when you have major deep pullbacks and the commercial net short gets down to under 100,000. You can see all the green tags on this chart. Every major bottom has been when gold, the commercial net short for gold is below 100,000. That is extreme buying opportunities. And I bought some more gold on that last pullback last year in the fall when it was under 100,000. And you can see over the previous years, the major pullbacks, and those are times that I bought physical gold myself. So those are times that I really buy it. The next charts are just some charts of gold with important long-term moving averages. Here's a weekly chart with moving averages and 1334, and here's another chart, a monthly chart, going back to 1982 with 8 and 21 moving averages. Those are Fibonacci numbers, by the way, and you could see that they define long terms very, very well. So I discussed that over the last few weeks. No reason to go into it anymore. Taking a look at silver, lots of talk about silver. My only problem about silver is I know a lot of folks say that silver is going to make this huge comeback, and it's going to, you know, I mean, it's got a lot of catch-up to do for gold. And that might be. My only concern about that is that silver is more now an industrial metal instead of a commodity, or instead of a precious metal like it used to be. And so I think silver is going to be affected. It's going to follow the other commodities a lot more than gold does. This is my opinion. So I do own some silver, though, that I bought longer term, you know, in the fall when it was below $9. But in the short term here, silver is approaching some major resistance here around the 14 range. And so I think it's going to top here very soon and then have a decent pullback along with gold. And the next chart puts it into perspective, The next chart's a monthly chart of gold, and you can see, just eyeballing it, gold just looks too vertical on a monthly chart. It looks like a bear flag. It looks like it needs to pull in. If it goes a little higher, well, it's going to find pretty big resistance at that little broken up-sloping trend line. RSI, you could see, looks like it's been holding above 50% before. Looks like now the 50% level will react resistance. So it looks like a good area to pull back at. MACD's also doesn't look that healthy. Again, it looks like it needs a pullback to make that MACD a little better. The weekly chart, you can see it's going to run. It's running into Fibonacci resistance up here as well. Again, may have a little more upside, but I think it's going to pull back here soon as well. So that's my thoughts on precious metals and gold. Next, looking at gold stocks, they continue to hang in here. Daily chart of GDX, it's a slightly above its 200-day moving average. Volume increased last week, which is good. And it's above its uptrend line. But any break of that uptrend line and 50-day or 20-day moving average, looks like gold stocks will start pulling back here. Keep an eye on that GDX-GLD ratio. Okay, if that breaks that trend line, then they're going to start a healthy pullback too. And, you know, if they really wanted to surge up here, I mean, GDX maybe could make it to that next thick downtrend line resistance, but kind of doubt it. I imagine they could probably pull back here. So watch the uptrend line and the uptrend channel. Daily chart of GDM, that's a gold stock index, and you can see very clearly rising wedge pattern. A break of the uptrend line of the wedge would signal a pullback. And here's a GDX weekly chart. Again, you can see a huge bounce. Again, it looks a little too vertical to me. It retraced 50% of the whole move down from the March highs. So, you know, logical pullback here, maybe to form a higher low, seemed logical, and then another rally. So, you know, that's why I wouldn't be chasing the gold stocks up here. Wait for some kind of decent pullback. Here's a 60-minute chart of GDX, and it took out the little triangle that I pointed out last week. It's trying to find some support on top of the triangle, as you can see. But if it breaks down here, then maybe the pullback will start. But for now, it's holding up. And the next chart is the scenario where GDX could be forming this big inverse head and shoulder here. But again, it has this rising wedge inside of it. And honestly, it would be much healthier to have a decent pullback here before any big rally up, in my opinion. And the next chart is the GDX-GLD ratio, kind of a mechanical system. It uses a 7 and 21 exponential moving averages. And you can see where the 7 crossed below the 21 way back in July. That signal was a sell signal for gold stocks. That was an awesome sell signal. And it generated a buy signal in late November, which was excellent. It's still on a buy signal. If that 7 ever crosses below the 21, then I'll be in, you know, give you an exit. And lastly, looking at the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar here continues to hold up as the demand for U.S. dollars, you know, continues to be quite strong because of the deflationary debt-laden environment we are in. It's forming some kind of little ascending-type triangle here. Well, let's see if it breaks up or down. And here's a 60-minute chart of the ETF, the UUP, an ETF for the dollar, and it's clearly in some kind of symmetrical triangle pattern. So respect the direction it breaks. Anyway, folks, that does it for the commodities update. And by the way, another thing, folks, is regarding the watch list and everything else, in this environment, trading has been so difficult, we really haven't been throwing ideas on a watch list. You know, we throw ideas in these updates, you know. But, you know, trading is tough right now, especially when you're in these consolidation patterns. And so, you know, until you start breaking these patterns, putting ideas on a watch list are really just trade ideas that, you know, you need to be exit quickly. And if the market does start to break down, it'll probably do so early this week, as Steve noted. And so you can initiate some shorts. But again, you must have stops in place. There is a Fibonacci turn date on the 18th, plus or minus a couple days. So the market's either going to make a significant low there, or it's going to be, or it already made a high and is selling off. So we'll see. Anyway, let me go ahead and cut this update short. I have plenty of other things to do tonight, and I will talk to you later. Thank you.